All right, let's talk about Saudi Arabia and another purge going on in the palace of MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the prince, the crown prince and de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia. Alexander, I'm reading headlines from the BBC. I believe you also said that the Wall Street Journal has also reported on this as well. Saudi Arabia detains three senior members of royal family. Three senior members of Saudi Arabia's royal family, including the king's brother, have been arrested for unexplained reasons. Two of the men were among the kingdom's most influential figures. The detentions are seen as Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman tightening his grip on power. In 2017, dozens of Saudi royal figures, ministers, and businessmen were confined to Riyadh's Ritz-Carlton Hotel after the Crown Prince ordered their arrest. Alexander, what's going on here? Why this sudden purge of his brother as well?
Yes, well, first of all, the thing to say is that the BBC reports it as MBS consolidating or tightening his grip on power. That's one way of reading this. Another would be to say that this is a desperate ploy by MBS to protect or secure his position on power at a time when he feels increasingly insecure and threatened. Now, we've just done a video in which we discussed how the oil price fall has clearly unsettled the Saudis, who are incredibly dependent on oil to glue together this incredibly complex kingdom that they administer, which is basically held together by a combination of brutal repression, ideological conditioning, religious ideological conditioning, and bribes. I mean, you know, oil wealth distributed through the system to keep everybody paid and funded. And it seems that what has now happened is that with MBS having already antagonized many members of the Saudi political elite by that massive shakedown he did in 2017 when he rounded them all up and held them in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and apparently got $800 billion out of them, or some ridiculous amount of money that people were saying. And having consolidated power so rapidly and having used it in such eccentric ways and disastrous ways, like the war he's been waging on Yemen and all that, it seems to me that he's now, this shakedown, this latest wave of arrests, seems to me to be a symptom of panic provoked by insecurities triggered by the oil price fall. And the other sign of panic about it was the fact that the Saudis rushed through this OPEC agreement for an oil production cut without first consulting the Russians. They didn't manage to get the Russians to agree to this. They didn't even talk about it properly to the Russians. They came along to the rest of OPEC, a strong-armed OPEC to agree this big oil production cut, basically in order to bounce the Russians to agree to it. And of course, the one thing you never do is try to bounce Vladimir Putin into things like that. He doesn't like it. So the Russians have turned round now and said, no, we do not agree to this oil production cut. We want to see the oil market stabilized by itself. We want to see what the long-term effect of the coronavirus is going to be. We also can't understand why we should cut production, oil production, and prop up prices when the only beneficiaries of that are going to be the shale producers in the US. Apparently, they did say that during the OPEC Plus meeting. And of course, that has left MBS feeling again extremely vulnerable, and the result is that he's now arresting more prominent royals. And this time, the BBC says it's not clear what they're being accused of. The Wall Street Journal says they've been charged with treason, which, of course, in Saudi Arabia would result in the death penalty if it were found to be true.
All right, so how is the Saudi economy? Number one, Alexander. Number two, how is the war in Yemen going for Saudi Arabia? Number two. And number three, is MBS deep down inside really worried about a palace coup?
Yes, right. The answer is let's deal with each one in turn. Firstly, how is the Saudi economy? Well, the Saudi economy upticked after 2016 because oil prices rose, but that doesn't solve its underlying problems. It's massively dysfunctional. It's has its currency, the rial, is fixed to the dollar, which effectively prevents indigenous Saudi companies from developing because it renders them uncompetitive. It's also riddled with subsidies and cross subsidies as the Saudi government buys off prominent insiders. And of course, its costs are continuously growing. It has an overburdened and very inefficient welfare system. Its education system is apparently a mess. And so it upticks with the oil price, but these upticks cannot conceal its long-term decay and decline. And in fairness to MBS, he seems to understand that, even though his solutions, as I've discussed in articles we've written for the Durand, I don't think are the right ones. I think, on the contrary, they're the kind of solutions which, far from being solutions, are going to make the situation worse.
Such
Now,
as.
well, I mean, what he was proposing to do was he was going to sell off large chunks of Aramco, the Saudi state oil company, and use the proceeds to finance a runaway industrialization program, basically buying factories and technicians and technology from the Western, from the West, principally, by the way, the United States. Now, firstly, had that policy ever been implemented in the way that MBS intended, it would not have solved Saudi Arabia's problems. It would have made them worse, because the experience is that if you build up your industrial base organically, in other words, if you foster business conditions in your own country so that people develop their own businesses, open their own factories, you have a strong organic industrial base going forward. But if you try and buy factories into your country, then you are simply saddling your country with lots of factories, shiny, flashy factories, which are not very well adapted to domestic conditions, and which ultimately become a drain on the overall economy. And of course, the increase in spending is exactly the last thing that Saudi Arabia needs at this time, at least on these kind of projects. What Saudi Arabia needs to do is to rein back on its spending, cut back on its massive interventionist wars, reduce its arms purchases, which MBS wants to increase, develop its education system, and end this disastrous system of cross subsidies, which are stifling internal growth, and at the same time, end the peg of the rial to the dollar. Now, that would be a reform program. You couldn't do it all at one go. I mean, you did it all in one go, Saudi Arabia would collapse. But if it was done incrementally over a period of 10, 15 years, it would transform Saudi Arabia, and it would give Saudi Arabia a chance to become a kind of modern state. Ultimately, I don't see how it could ever be achieved without more substantial political reform. But if MBS was doing that, he would be taking Saudi Arabia in the correct direction. What he was proposing to do would simply ultimately have resulted in a financial insolvency and an even more accelerated economic collapse. But the other thing to say is that's what would have happened if his project, his plan, Saudi 2030, as it was called, had been implemented. But it hasn't been implemented because he hasn't been able to sell a big enough stake in Aramco to fund it. And the money he's raised from the share of Aramco that he has put on sale comes nowhere near enough to finance the projects of this kind. So we are in a situation where the situation is still deteriorating, the economy is still deteriorating, but without even the madcap you know, forced industrialization program that MBS wanted to carry out. I mean, his entire economic project has proved to be a mirage. So that's one thing. Now, the second question you asked was about what's happened. The wars, they're all going badly. I mean, if we look at Syria, well, Bashar al-Assad has won the war in Syria. I mean, I don't think anybody really disputes this. Maybe Erdogan is the last person left on earth who is in denial about that. But again, in fairness to MBS and the Saudis, they understand that the war in Saudi Arabia, in Syria, is lost. But the war in Yemen is not going well either. I mean, his MBS, almost the first thing he did when his father became king was that he launched the Saudi army into Yemen in this completely misconceived intervention there. It's gone very badly wrong for Saudi Arabia. We saw the drone strikes on the Aramco facilities last year, which the Saudis blamed on the Houthis, the faction in Yemen that the Saudis are fighting and losing against. And the very latest news I've heard, by the way, is that the Houthis have just captured another Yemeni province within Yemen. So the Saudis are losing the war in Yemen. And the third question you ask is, does MBS fear a coup? Yes. Of course he does. That's why he's arresting all these prominent people, because he's afraid that they will launch a coup against him. That's why he talks about treason. In fact, the Wall Street Journal article said that, in fact, he actually accused two of these princes, and he's just arrested, of planning a coup. And may I add, one of them, who is Prince Nayef, was the former crown prince of Saudi Arabia, holding the position that MBS currently holds. And of course, Prince Nayef was also the person who was for a long time in charge of Saudi Arabia's internal security. And he will have put lots of his own people in the various Saudi institutions. I mean, the Internal Affairs Ministry, the National Guard, all of those things. So he is potentially a dangerous man for MBS, because Prince Nayef, you know, will have connections across Saudi society. He is a prominent royal who was in line once to be king. And of course, he is somebody who also has had historically very close connections with the US. So MBS has good reasons to be afraid of Prince Nayef, and he's got good reasons anyway to be afraid of a coup, because all the various things that he's done, you know, rounding up people and, you know, carrying out shakeouts and forcing them to give him, you know, billions of dollars of money, all these weird wars that he's fighting, the murder of Khashoggi, which happened, you know, last year, all of these things, what they show is a very insecure ruler who's angered many people within the Saudi elite, but also someone who clearly feels that his position is under threat. But when he faces what he sees as internal challenges, instead of reaching out and trying to broker compromises, he becomes more aggressive and goes for broke. And this is what he's just done now. He's doubled down by arresting more people. And I have to say that in Saudi Arabia, arresting prominent royal princes is something that isn't done, hasn't up to now been done. The Saudi royal family and the other prominent families, you know, the Al Rashids and all the others that make up the Saudi ruling elite, when they see things like this, there will be a chill, and some of them will be frightened and intimidated and overawed, but others will be whispering to themselves and talking to each other and perhaps preparing their own steps. So we're looking at a power struggle and a crisis, and this seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, this is not going to end well for MBS, and it's not going to end well for Saudi Arabia. It sounds to me that MBS is trying to, you know, plug up a lot of holes on the dam, but He's only got two hands. That dam's going to break. Arresting these people for treason is not going to stop the underlying problems.
No, of course it doesn't. It doesn't address them in any way. It's going to make them worse because it is unraveling. I mean, as I say, Saudi Arabia is a strange hodgepodge which has been held together by all sorts of deals and compromises and things that, you know, hold it together.
And the royal family.
And the royal family. Within the royal family, yeah. You know, you parcel out positions within members of the royal family. You parcel out positions to all the other members of the prominent families that, you know, prop up the elite. What MBS is doing is he's unraveling all of that. And that is dangerous in two respects. Firstly, it's dangerous because it threatens the position of the elite. And we've got to remember, Saudi Arabia is not a democracy. So it is the elite, ultimately, that historically has decided who leads the country and who does not. And what MBS is doing is he's threatening the elite. But on top of all of that, given that Saudi Arabia, that is how Saudi Arabia works, unraveling the system in this way is putting the internal stability of the Saudi state in jeopardy in ways that I have never seen happen before.
Yeah, and I think the forces that be both inside Saudi Arabia and outside Saudi Arabia, i.e. the U.S., will definitely dispatch with MBS before they allow Saudi Arabia to crumble.
Well, I agree. I think that's the other thing to say. I mean, I think, first of all, MBS himself is, one crisis away from downfall. That's my own personal view. I mean, you know, I don't mean by that an existential crisis. I mean, if there's a clear-cut defeat of the Saudi army in Yemen, or if there's some other disaster, or there's, you know, there's big protests, or perhaps an oil workers' strike, I think that the elite will unite against him and he'll be out. And I think what could then happen is that the whole thing would be patched together. I suspect that it would be patched together and keep ticking along for a while. But of course, the underlying problems would not be solved. And the crisis surrounding MBS would have weakened the structure further.
Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notification bell. Smash that like button. Also, check us out on SoundCloud and iTunes for an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And please go to The Durant Shop. Pick up some merchandise. When you purchase some merchandise, like some magic mugs, you really help out this channel a lot. And when you drink from magic mugs, they will increase your geopolitical IQ by at least 1,000 points so you don't make mistakes like that of MBS. We should send him a couple of mugs.
We should certainly send him a couple of mugs. And of course, the one thing I will say about that part of the world is that they do make amazing coffee. If you buy your coffee from the Southern Arabian Peninsula, from Yemen, poor Yemen, but they did make the best coffee. And I still got some of it. So he should certainly have some of our mugs. He should also learn, by the way, from this man on this mug, who he's met several times, who's Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of a government which, very unlike MBS, is methodical and systematic and never acts impulsively. It always thinks before it acts. But they are, to say all of this, absolutely great mugs. I've been drinking my English breakfast tea from this one as we've been doing this video. It holds beautifully. You can see how light and strong it is, how elegant it is. Also, it's got this wonderful sort of glossy surface. It's 100% porcelain. And by the way, it's as good as new. I've owned it for over a year, as I've owned all my other Durant mugs. It's been through the dishwasher, well, every day. And you can see that it looks perfect. I mean, there's no chip, a crack, any discoloration, nothing. It's a beautiful and wonderful mug. And all our other things in our shop are equally wonderful and of the same superb quality. I am referring, of course, to the Durant polo shirt that I'm wearing now, which is 100% cotton, incredibly comfortable to wear, incredibly stylish, And also it's, you know, they come in many colors. This one is gray, but we've got, you know, we've got polo shirts of lots of different colors, all of them with a Durand double-headed eagle embroidered on them. And, you know, they look amazing and they feel amazing and they are amazing. And we don't just have Durand polo shirts in our shop. We have Durand t-shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved, also with our Durand double-headed eagle printed on. And we also have V-neck shirts and hats and hoodies and stickers, all of the same superb quality. And we have electronic books covering subjects like Russiagate and Ukrainegate and Brexit and Epstein, which you could also buy and learn lots about, lots from. They're all on our shop. We rely on you for our support because, as Alex has said, we get problems with YouTube from time to time. So if you like our commentary, if you want to support the Durand, if you want at the same time to be the owner of these wonderful things, then come to our shop, buy and own these great things, and Alex will tell you how.
TheDurandShop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.